What was it though? There, two guys came up behind the car and got out and came towards their family, and there was a mother and two children, and they had the doors locked and everything, and the guy had a knife, and he started breaking the window down, got the door open, and he was going to stab the mother, and 7-year-old Keish stood up in the back and said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name." And the guy froze. He couldn't move. Didn't come against the person. It came against the spirit. So there's a spirit of death on these people that want to kill people. And if you come against that spirit, if you're around them, you can bind that thing and stop that immediately. So if you start seeing that, start binding them. You know, there's other ways of stopping them, but there's also that spiritual warfare that we have authority over those demonic spirits that are there. So I want to just always remind you to, when you go that way, it's the same thing I've always said. If you have people coming against you angry, frustrated, and miserable, and they're cussing, swearing, going crazy, just bind a strong man spirit in the name of Jesus and demand peace. You'll see some things change in them. I've had many people try that, and they said, "Wow, it works." I said, "Yeah, it does work, because that's what you're doing. You got the authority and power to destroy those works of the devil. Jesus already did it for us. Now we just have to follow in his pathways." So praise the Lord. It's not always easy when you're in the midst of it and the anger starts flying to remember that, but we need to continue to go on that way and watch what's happening. So praise the Lord. Just kind of watch what's going on, see what's going on, see what's, ask God what he wants you to do, what needs to be done, and we'll continue to pray for our enemies and see God move in their lives and change them back into, if there's any way of all their hearts can be changed back to God, then praise God. We're just going to believe that that's going to happen. I've been thinking about seeing what we need to do to learn how to walk in God's will on this earth. That was one of the things he told me, to walk in his will be done on this earth. And I'm thinking, how are we going to do this? How's this going to happen? I'm saying, man, this is kind of different. And I says, you know, as I started to pray about it, the Lord reminded me back about a prophecy that he put out. Prophecies are unique. We had heard one time in a church we were at, they said we need to take every prophecy that comes forth, not every word that's given, but a true prophecy, and put that prophecy down in a ledger. And if you go back and you start to read the prophecy, you would see God is directing you and guiding you and bringing you through. Now, a prophecy doesn't always say, "Thus saith the word of God," but there's usually an indication what it's talking about will indicate what's going on from the word of God. The word of God has to line up with what you're hearing from a prophecy. Because if you don't, you can get out of order. The enemy knows how to prophesy just as well as everybody else, and they don't always do it the right way. So you just need to really make sure that you know what you're talking about. This is one that I've used quite often. It's one that I really trust and believe, because it is the end time. We are in the end time. There's a greater need to know and understand some of these things. And I took it and I said, "Lord, I seen this," and I was getting all excited, and I say, "Wow, this is something else." I'm going to leave this up to you, because I was thinking about taking each little section. There's people, and this is in the final quest, and this is how he came out into the great throne room, and there was people that were here and how they lived on earth and how they got to heaven. They said, if I knew what I know now, I would have lived differently there. So this, the reason the Lord is trying to put this down here, and I'll explain a little bit as we go along here, he wants you to be the best. He's got plans and purpose for you, but sometimes when we do things here on earth, when we could do better, we're not going to receive the things that he wants us to have. And we'll talk about that as we go along. So it's time right now to not only be looking directly at what we have and walking in the Lord and being holy and righteous and doing the things we're supposed to be doing and just good Christians, good citizens of the kingdom. And what happened is, well, sometimes we just get so wrapped up in it, we forget we're making a destiny. Your destiny is not here on this earth. Your destiny is what you're going to do in heaven. Your destiny is what you're going to have in heaven. When you go to heaven, then it's going to flip back down onto earth. So after the million, you know, for the thousand-year reign, we'll come back with the Lord. If you don't understand that, talk to me about it later. We'll show you and talk about what's happening on there. But in this prophecy, it gets to a point, it says, higher rank. In this first multitude, I've seen many other men and women of God, both from history and from my own time. I stopped and talked to many of them and was shocked that so many I expected to see in the highest position was instead in the lowest rank of kingdom, of the kingdom in the throne room. So you see people and they look really good sometimes. Well, they're not always so good always because God knows everything. He knows what's happening. And there is a test. Once you get to heaven, there's a test of all your works. And I didn't really understand the test. I've heard about it. I've seen it. I know what's going to happen. I just know there's a fire that's going to come down and burn everything that you've done up that doesn't line up with the Word of God. And then one day I was praying and seeking the Lord really strong, and I heard that, and between this prophecy and some other things that's happened, it just finally, it hit me strongly with the Spirit of God, and I'll tell you, because I believe this is of the Spirit of God, anything that is not done in love will be burnt up. Anything that is not done in love will be burnt up. Something to think about. I didn't realize that. I'm thinking, wow. Like I said, from several things that I've heard, I've finally come to a revelation. I believe that is the way to look at. And he says, I stopped to talk to many of them and was shocked that so many expected to be on the higher position instead of the lower rank of a kingdom. Many shared the same basic stories. They had fallen to the deadly sin of pride after a great victory, or fallen to jealousy when other men were anointed as much as they were. Others had fallen to lust, discouragement, or bitterness near the end of their lives and had to be taken before they crossed the line into perdition. They all gave me the same warning. The higher the spiritual authority that you walk in, the farther you can fall if you are without love and humility. I'm telling you right now, love and humility. If we aren't helping you understand, there's two things you got to develop. All kinds of things you can talk about, all things you got to do. But you better understand love and humility is the two that'll change your whole life. It'll change everybody else's life. It's one of the hardest things to walk in humility sometimes. Sitting in the back and letting people go and do things, sometimes you kind of just say, oh, just shake your head and wonder what's going on. But I've been very blessed in those two areas, so it's not as hard for me as some people, as Debbie has said many times. She's never seen anybody love so many people as I have loved people. I put things out. I let things go. I don't worry about them. I just stand before the Lord and said, Father, they're your problem. You take care of them. And I do the best I can to help them grow and prosper. That's all I care. I don't care about what's going on. I don't care about God. I got humility. I put it on there because the reason I'm in this position today is I've sat in places. I sat in a church one time that the pastor called me, and he says, come here. And I heard him talk to the guy that was up front. He says, I don't know what this guy does. He just prays, and it happens. I said, oh, that's interesting. But yet he wouldn't let me do anything in the church. We'd be in a prayer group, and he'd call everybody out to prayer, but not me. And I'd be standing right beside him. I was there. I was just humbling myself. And I got so mad, I said, don't they know who they got here? I got a lot of power. I got a lot of authority. I got a lot of wisdom. I can get a lot of things done. God set me down real fast on that one. I had to humble myself real quick. When you're praying for somebody and all of a sudden something hits you on the back and all of a sudden, don't you look good? You're doing a pretty good job there, boy. Shut up, devil. Get out of here. I'm not doing anything. It's all God. I will not take his glory for nothing. You have to do that. Those are the things. But that's how easy your flesh jumps up in charge and tries to take over. That's miserable, but it does. Many of these people were very high up, well-known people, but they fell because of, just like they said, jealousy. And if you want to see, go back and read those sections of each person, because there might be something in there that you might say, oh, I got to get rid of. I got to change. I want to humble myself in that area so that I don't have the same problem they've got. And there's a reason, and this is, the Lord told me to put this down here and speak about it today, because he wants you to know something. And see, it went on from there. And I continued towards the judgment seat. I began to pass through those who were of higher rank in the kingdom. After many more veils had been stripped away from me by meeting with those who had stumbled over the same problem that I had, I began to meet some who had overcome. I met couples who had served God with each other faithfully to the end, and their glory was so unspeakable, and their glorious encouragement encouraged me that it was possible to stay on path of the life and serve the Lord faithfully. I don't care what's happening in your life. I don't care what's going on. Where's your responsibility? Where's your requirement? What do you have? Is it to serve God, or is it to have what I want? Is it to do this or to do that? Are you really listening to the Holy Spirit? Every time you hear something, are you checking with the Holy Spirit to find out, is it what the Lord is saying? Is it clarifying what God wants? That's why I said Ephesians 4. It says, every wind of doctrine. As I've said, I've had people come in and change their doctrine because they heard some other things that were really going good, and they liked this and they liked that, but they never listened to the Holy Spirit. They never asked God what he wants. They only see what they like, what they believe sounds good, and they get into their own self. They changed their whole doctrine because they heard somebody that sounded good. That's what this is about. The Holy Spirit will tell you the truth and keep us going in the right direction. That's what we need to do. And I tell you, we've got some, I've been stubborn in many times because I refused to accept what I heard because I didn't believe it. And there's nothing wrong with that, because God took a while to prove to me that what I was hearing was true. But once I found out from the Holy Ghost it was true, guess what? I believe it without a doubt. I've seen it. I've heard it. He showed me different things and different paths he put me down through. These are the way that we have to learn and go through. But sometimes you're open, sometimes you're not. That was back in Oskaloosa when I was 30 years old, and I said, there's something more. I'm missing something. There's got to be more than just religion. I used to say, Dad, how's this work? Dad says, you pray, it happens, and you go down the road and get happy. Just enjoy your life. I said, Dad, how's this work? Because this is not telling me what is going on. There's something wrong. And my spirit started churning. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. Well, he showed me the more. He showed me about the Holy Spirit, which we didn't have back there in the church that we're in. He showed me about what he wants to do, which they never talked about back then. It was all religion. It was amazing what happened. But I did one thing. I said, Lord, I opened my mind, I opened my heart, but I'm going to be resistant. Because when you open your mind, you open your heart, you've got open up to everything that's going to come your way. But if you didn't put that resistance in there to stop everything from coming in, just accepting it, you're going to be in trouble. And a lot of people do that. Well, I'm looking for this, I'm looking for that. And they go this place, and they check it all out. And they go this way, check it all out. Well, it looks good, all the things else. But it doesn't mean anything because you didn't really check with the Holy Ghost, because most people don't know about the Holy Ghost. That's what we got to do, is stay in that area. Those who stumbled did so in many different ways, but those who prevailed all did it in the same way. They did not derive from their devotions to the first and great commandments. Loving the Lord in this way, their service was done unto him, not to men. if you're doing something because you're following some man, you better sit back and say, Lord, forgive me, and start to follow God. You better start asking God. That's how simple it is. If you're not following the Holy Spirit, you got a problem. Because you will be misled. And you have to do that. Devotion to the first great commandment. Love the Lord. In this way, your service has done was done unto him, not to men. Those were the ones who worshiped the Lamb and followed him wherever he went. And that's what it's about. And that's not always easy, because there's a lot of things out there that sound so good, and I think this way, and I think that way. But have you really asked the Holy Ghost? Are you really in tune with what the Lord's saying? When I was still not even halfway to the throne, what had been the incredible glory of the first rank now seems to be outer darkness in the comparison to the glory of those that I was now passing. The greatest beauty on earth could not qualify to be found anywhere in heaven. Is that right, did I said that? Okay, and I was told that this room was just the threshold of the incredible realm of glory. My march to the throne was taken days, months, and even years. There's no way to measure time in the place. Everyone had showed respect to me, not because of who I was or anything I had done, but simply because I was the warrior in the battle of the last days. You are a warrior in the battle of the last days. What you do is going to affect the glory of God in the heavens, fulfilling up what God's house in heaven. Think about that. When I read that and the Lord started speaking to me, he says, I want your people to know this. He says, simply because I was a warrior of the battle of the last day. Everybody that have gone before us knows you. And they're excited about you. They want to, you know, to intercede. They see what's going on down here on earth. And they're expecting great and magnificent things. They said, I've done these things before. You know, I've done all this. But it's not about what we did. It's about what you're going to do. You got to finish the race. You have to finish the race. This is it. Don't put any big thing on you saying, oh, I got to do this. No, don't. Just ask the Holy Ghost, and he tells you to do it. Do the best you can. Get it done. If you mess up, ask for forgiveness and keep on going and keep on doing what you're supposed to do. Stay humble and in love. And watch, God will use you. He'll change things around quickly and fast, and you'll see great and magnificent things. The glory of God was to reveal in such a way that it would be a witness to every power and authority, created or yet to be created, of all the eternity. During this battle, the glory of the cross would be revealed, and the wisdom of God would be known in a special way. To be in that battle was to be given out of the greatest honor possible. You have the greatest honor. God honors you today. You are honorable in his eyes. You might not think so. You need to change your heart. You need to realize how important you are to God in this season and what we're to do. And he can do anything he tells you to do. You just have to pray and believe, because there's going to be a greater revelation, a greater wisdom of God, and it's all going to be done in a more of a special way. That's what's coming. That's what we're doing. That's where we're at right now. That's why things seem weird sometimes, because it's not normal. There's a lot of things happening I can go through. I just won't go through it at the present time. Near the judgment seat of Christ, those in the highest ranks were sitting on thrones that were all part of his throne. Even the least of these thrones were many times more glorious than any earthly thrones. Some of those on the thrones were rulers over cities, over earth, and would soon take their places. Others were rulers over the affairs of heaven, and still others rulers over the affairs of the physical creation, such as stars, systems, and galaxies. Whew. Where are you going to be? What are you going to be doing? Did you think you might have those responsibilities? I don't know if people have really heard much about it, but when Jesus comes back, I think it's in Revelations 19 or 20, it says that he comes back with those with white horses, with white garments. If you look at the Lamb's Supper, it says that, you know, the saints were coming home for the supper of the Lamb. And what are they doing? They're putting on their white garments. They're coming back. We're coming back with Christ to rule and reign. There is a place on this earth that you will be doing, and it depends on what you're doing now. I had a person one time says, "Oh, I rule from a distance." I says, "Oh, you got in heaven, you got an island out here by yourself, and that's where you're going to be sitting over all by yourself because you don't want to do anything right now with people." I about fell over when I got that revelation. I said, that God will honor you. That's what you're doing. He's a good man, but he always wanted to rule from a distance. I don't want to get involved. I'll just sit here and I'll just kind of help and pray. But I said, "Oh, is that where you want to be? Off by yourself over here on this little island? He might give you a little island to watch over." But we don't think about these things. And this is what the Lord wants you to start thinking. Not saying that you get it in depth so strong that as you start to go that way, it's going to start changing your mind. No. Just do what the Lord wants you to do with love and humility. That's what this is all about. But I didn't even think about that. I forgot all about this when I was reading this the other day and the Lord was showing me. And he says, but they take their place. Could be a city. Could be a state. It could be just a small area of people that you will rule and reign with Christ. That's what we do for 1,000 years. Then after that, then we receive the earth as ours, and we'll be doing things at that time as well. It was apparent that those who were given authority over cities were esteemed even above those who had been given authorities over galaxies. The value of a single child surpasses that of a galaxy of stars because the Lord has chosen men as his eternal dwelling place. Think about that. The value of a single child surpasses that of a galaxy of stars because the Lord has chosen men as his eternal dwelling place. Do you realize that? Every person that, every person, I don't care even if it's our enemies, and they get blown up. It's killing God. It's hurting God. Because why? That was one of my dwelling places on this earth. I don't have a dwelling place anymore. Those that go to hell. He's losing out on what he designed, what he wanted from the beginning. It's a different concept of thinking about this. It can change your thinking sometimes if you start to go that way. Just ask the Father what it is about. His awesome presence. Now that I stood before the throne, I felt even lower than the speck of dirt. Nevertheless, I felt the Holy Spirit upon me in a greater way than I've ever had it. I was by his power. It was by his power alone that I was able to stand. It was here that I truly came to understand the ministry as a comforter. He had led me through the entire journey, even though, for the most part, I had been unaware of his presence. The Lord was both more gentle and more terrible than I've ever imagined. In him, when you read that next paragraph, dear.
The Lord was both more gentle and more terrible than I had ever imagined. In him, I saw wisdom who would accompany me on the mountain. I somehow also felt the familiarity of many of my friends on earth, which I understood to be because he had often spoken to me through them. I also recognized him as the one I had often rejected when he came to me in others. I saw both a lion and a lamb, the shepherd and the bridegroom. But most of all, I now saw him as the judge.
Praise the Lord. Even in the Lord's awesome presence, the Comforter was so mighty with me that I was comfortable. It was clear that the Lord is no way wants me to be uncomfortable. He only wanted me to know the truth. Human words are not adequate to describe how awesome or how revealing it was to stand before him. I had pressed the point where I was concerned if the judgment was going to be good or bad. I just knew it would be right, and that I could trust my judgment. The thing is, you have to realize you need to judge yourself. In all these things, judge yourself. At least you be judged. That's one of the biggest things going on. That sometimes you need to talk with people and find out what's going on. Because without, you think you're doing good, but then when you start to talk with them, the people, otherwise they can help you confirm to you what is going on, that if you do it with the right people. There's too many people tell you all kinds of bad things about you. Don't go that way. At one point, the Lord looked towards the galleries of thrones around him. Many were occupied, but many were empty. Then he said, and I want this is why I'm saying this. Might seem a little boring, might seem a little different. If you listen to what the Lord's wanted to say, hear what he's got to hear. Pick and choose what you can pick up from what the Lord wants to have on this. These thrones are for the overcomers who have served me faithfully in every generation. My Father and I prepared them before the foundation of the world. Are you worthy to sit on this one of these? Are you worthy to sit on one of those thrones? Because there are many thrones right now that are not occupied. Many of them are right beside God by Jesus. And if you're just dinking around back here doing your little thing and not going to be one of the... See, one of the things they talked about at first was they said the foolish virgins were the very first ones they ran into, which was in the very back part of the kingdom. And these were a lot of the bigger people. You know, some of the books and the stuff that you read and all those type of people, because they fell short, they were put back there because their works were tested and they didn't make it. There's others that came up front and are still sitting here. But there's plenty of seats left that they need to fill up. Are you going to be an overcomer? This is one thing that the Lord would like to say to you. Are you ready to continue on and get your journey done so that you can, when you get through, that you'll have a place and you know where you're going to go? It's not that if you start looking for that and want that over everything else, you're going to be in trouble, but you have to do what the Lord wants you to do while you're on this earth. I'm just not trying to get people ahead of what's going on, but it's what people want. God wants to know that there's a place for you, and he wants you to be up with him. He doesn't want you to be in the far back. I remember that a friend had once said, when the omniscient God asks you a question, it's not because he's seeking information. He looks at those who were now seated on the throne. I could recognize some of the great heroes of the faith, but realize most of those seated were not even being well known on earth. In other words, the average person seating in the places up here by Jesus weren't known. You wouldn't know them. Most of them were missionaries. They were out doing their thing. Nobody even knew about them. And because of that, their works were tested, and they were now honored to be able up in the front in some of those thrones. You might be a very person that you don't show or do much, or nobody even knows you, but the fact is, you might be the one that's up there. I know I was hearing one time a guy said that he was a monk, I guess, and he was, but he mowed the yard, washed the clothes, and he did the laundry, and he was more powerful than most people. And when praying for people and the power of God on him, because his heart was right. You don't have to be big. You don't have to be out in front. I always said, Father, you let somebody else be up here, I'll be in the back. I could care less. I don't want to be here. I'm not here because I don't want to be here. I'm here because God wants me to be here. If God didn't want me to be here, I'd be in the back. I'd be somewhere else. I'd be doing something different because this is not me. I only want what God wants. That's the only reason we're here, because of that. And that's the way I walk. That's the way I want to be. I said, I don't like to do these things sometimes that I have to do. Many of those on the thrones have been missionaries and so on and so forth. But I just want you to understand, you've got an opportunity of what the Lord is looking to do. There is no way I could answer yes to the Lord's question regarding whether I consider myself worthy to sit there. I was worthy to sit on the company of any of those who were there. When I confessed that I was not worthy, the Lord says, but did you want this seat? When I confess that I'm not worthy, the Lord said, but do you want this seat? I do with all my heart, I responded. The Lord then looked at the gallery and said, these empty seats could have been filled by many in many generations. I give the invitation to sit there to everyone that has been called upon my name. The seats are still available. Now the last battle has come, and many who are in the last shall be first. Those seats will be filled before the battle is over. Those who still sit here will be known by two things. They will wear the mantle of humility, and they will have my likeness. I want you to understand that. This is what God looks for. This is what God's caring about. And in that whole process, they even talked about, they gave Rick Joyner a garment. And it was humility. And it looked ugly. It was terrible. He had bright, shiny warrior, you know, the sword and the shield. But when he put it on, it just hindered everything. But see, the shield and the sword, the power that he had, he couldn't see the demons until he put that humility on. When he put the humility on, he could see what was going on in the war to keep from being hurt. He says, can't these people see it? No, because they didn't have the spirit of humility. They're out doing their own thing, doing what they want to do, how they want to do it, where they want to do it, when they want to do it. They weren't willing to humble themselves before the Lord to find out what was going on. And the other thing was, when it said that, they will have my likeness. How do you have the likeness? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness. If you're not trying to develop all of those gifts inside you, you will have a problem when you get there. That's how you get the likeness of God. That's what he even says in the concordance. You can go back and look at it. For that scripture, righteousness means act or character. A likeness of God. Being like God. Not being God, but being likeness with his love and his peace, his kindness, joy, and all that. And that's hard to deal with. But if we don't try it, it won't work. If we're not trying to teach people that, it's not worth anything. We can get them out here helping people and doing this and raising this up and going over here and getting all kinds of great and magnificent meetings and everything's just flowing and fantastic, but not one of them will really be in a good place when they get to heaven because most of their works will be burned up. That's what we're trying to do different here than other places. I hit a lot about love. I hit a lot about, understanding the authority and the power. We want that. But when you put the love of God, I've always said, the fruits of the Spirit pull you away. But when you have the love of God, when you have the fruits of the Spirit, when they come down, Did I say fruits? It was the gifts will pull you away. The fruits, if you're grounded in the fruits, the gifts will be magnified, and they will not tear you from your position of where you need to be. But most people go after the gifts. I want this. I want that. This has got to happen. This has got to happen. But you aren't even in tune with what God's doing. You got to get in tune with what God's doing if you're going to be in the fruits of the Spirit. You now have the mantle. If you keep it on, and that was the mantle of humility, and do not lose it in the battle. Get angry, upset, jealous. You start going that way, that humility, gone. All of a sudden, you start showing all the bad stuff, and the demons will start grabbing a hold of you and pulling you down and hitting you in every way that they can. When you return, you will also have my likeness if you don't lose the mantle. When you'll be worthy to sit with there, because I have made you worthy. God has made you worthy. I don't care who you are. I don't care what's been done in your life. I don't care what they've said. You are worthy. If you can't get that in your heart, you're not going to achieve what God wants you to do. You are worthy. Yes, people have tried to push you one way and push you another and teach you this and teach you that, lie to you left and right. I know I've been there, done that. And I've let people run all over me, and I've just kind of let it go. Lovely, because I have, that love for people. I just let it happen. I'm an introvert, more or less. But the reality is, when you start to change that, God says you are worthy. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you to sit with him in those places. He wants you to move like you've never moved today in his Spirit. And when you do that is when you have your likeness, when you are walking with him, when you're understanding what he wants you to do. It's amazing what's going to happen. He says, all authority and power has been given to me, and I alone can wield it. You will prevail, and you will be trusted with my authority only when you have come to fully abide in me. Now turn and look at my household. So he's standing there. He's looking around all the places where all the places are at, the thrones and everything. But he says, all authority and power has been given to me, and I alone wield it. You will prevail when you will be trusted with my authority, only when you will come to fully abide in me. Now turn and look at my household. And this is one of the things that I'm going to be talking about a little bit more, about abiding in Christ in a way that maybe I've never seen it before. It's like the Lord's been showing me since I've been out of it. And in the hospital, I was sitting there and I was listening and listening and listening. I started to see and understand some things, and I'm hoping it'll help out. But the whole issue comes down to this. You will prevail and you will be trusted with my authority. Then will you come fully abide in me. Now turn and look at my household. I turned and looked back at the direction I came from. Standing before my throne, I could see the entire room. The spectrum was glorious beyond description. Millions filled the ranks. Each individual in the lowest ranks were more awesome than any army that had and more power. It was far beyond the capacity to absorb as a phenomenon of glory, panoramic. There you go. But the other thing, I'm just going to hit this real short on this one. It talked about the cup of tears. He was looking back at the crowd, and all of a sudden, Jesus started to tear up. And he felt bad for him, and he says, why are you tearing? He says, it's not for what's here. It's for what's still out there that needs to be brought in. And he says, are you willing to sup of my tea or my tears? And he took a tear and put it in a cup and he started to drink it. He said it was the bitterest, most bitterest thing he's ever tasted. But he says he was going to try to take as much as he could until finally he just started weeping. Weeping for the lost. This is one thing that we have to get in this place. The family fellowships are set up to do one thing, is to pray for the lost, to bring the lost in. They are the you might say, the combine of harvest. there's harvest out there, and they need to be a combine of going out and harvesting and bringing people in and training them up and getting them in the way they need to be. That's what this is all about. It always has been. It just hasn't really effectively worked it that way. And I kept saying, Lord, why? I don't understand yet. There should be such a desire to get souls and to talk to people and be able to set up and show people what's going on. So I'm still praying on that one. If anybody has any wisdom, please let me know. You know, it's just one of those situations that God is waiting for us to do some great things. Now the commission. I jumped over a few pages there, dear. The Lord then stood up with all those who were seated beside the thrones, for as far as I could see, also stood up. His eyes burned with fire. It was not seen before. Ye have called upon me for grace. This request I never deny. You shall return, and the Holy Spirit shall be with you. Here you have tasted of both my kindness, my severity. You must return both, remember both, if you are going to stay on the path of life. The true love of God included the judgment of God. You must know both my kindness and severity, and you will, or you will fall to deception. This is the grace that you have been given to both, to know both. The conversation you have with your brethren here was my grace. Remember them. And there's a couple of things coming up here that I just want you to hear. He pointed his sword towards my heart, towards my mouth, towards my hands. And then he did. Fire came from his sword and burnt me. The pain was very great. This too is grace, he said, when you, but one of many who have been prepared for this hour, preach and write about all that you have seen here, that I have said to you, say it to my brethren. This is what the Lord is saying. This prophecy is not just a prophecy. It's not just about a few minute thing. There is so much revelation knowledge that we need to know in this season, in this time. You might get it if you sit down and ask the Lord, where do I go? What do I need to listen to? But that's what he was saying. That's why he gave this to Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner one time had said, Lord, why have you given me so many prophecies? He says, because I know you can go and you'll tell them the way I tell you, and you won't back down, and you won't try to change anything. He respected him enough to do that. But he says, this is the whole thing. After I said all that, you might say, well, that's been a lot, too much, whatever. He said this, go and call my captains to the last battle. That's God's heart right now. Every one of you are a captain. You're not just a little peanut sitting in the peanut gallery over here just thinking, oh, what do I need to do? No, you are a captain. Go and defend the poor and the oppressed, the widow and the orphan. This is a commission of my captains. It is where you will find them. And where you will find them. My children are worthy more to me than the stars in the heaven. Feed my lambs. Watch over my little ones. Give the word of God to them that they may live. Go to the battle. Go, do not retreat. Do quickly that I may come quickly. Obey me and hasten the day of his coming. If you get anything out of this whole thing, that is it. Want to read that one more time, Debbie?
Go and call my captains to the last battle. Go and defend the poor, the oppressed, the widows, the orphan. This is the commission of my captains, and it is where you will find them. My children are worth more to me than the stars in the heavens. Feed my lambs. Watch over my little ones. Give the word of God to them that they may live. Go to the battle. Go and do not retreat. Go quickly for I will come quickly. Obey me and hasten the day of my coming.
That's the word of the Lord today. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's a big harvest out there. There is a big hole in people's hearts. And the devil has got so many people wrapped up, it's about impossible to change them around. So we need your power, your might, your authority to walk with us, to show us, to teach us, to bring us to the place to where we can bring these people in, get them trained up. And this is what I've always said. I said, not my will, but thy will. And the way you set this thing up is exactly what you want. So that's how we're going to continue on with what you want, because this is how it is. It's to bring people in. It's to train them up. You gave apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And in 2002, you took me in and you started to show me the whole year of 2002 why there's an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Because each one has a gift. They are the head captains that cover, get everything working together to bring them together. The evangelist brings them in. Evangelist works with people so they can evangelize other people, to teach them and understand how to do it. The teacher has a teaching. They teach people how to grow and prosper. The pastor always watches over. The prophet gives the word on how to proceed and to continue on and give direction and watching over, making sure if something's wrong, they can warn us of what's happening. And the apostle sees the whole picture and makes it work. And this is where it's about. And Father, I know a couple of weeks ago I talked about the prophecy that was given to Debbie. There's only one thing I can say from what you said and what was happening was because of walking in love and humility, you have honored me in doing some things. And I put it this way, I wasn't going to say it, but I put it this way, always coming back from Waterloo, and some people know it, some people don't, I was driving south of Traer, Iowa, and all of a sudden I seen an angel, two angels come up, put a cloak over my shoulders. I did not know what that was. And then there was another, two angels come up and put another cloak over my shoulders. And I've never seen that happen whatsoever in the spirit. I've seen the other ones because they'll take the old garment off and give them a new anointing. I got two anointings one night. And I asked, finally said, Father, what is this? He says, one is for the apostle over the city of Des Moines and the other is the apostle over the city of Iowa. Why he gave that to me, I can't tell you why other than I just, the only thing I can do is say, if that's what you want, I'll do it, Father. I'm not prideful. I don't expect to think everybody looks good. You know, I hear people, well, I'm an apostle. I'm over this city. Well, that's fine. No problem. And, you know, I know what the Lord told me, and I know what he wants me to do, and I've been able to bind up and break down many of the spirits in this area. And this is what it's about. The fact is, are you humbling yourself? Are you walking in love in such a way where he will respect you to do even greater things that you've done in the past? That's why I always say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the power and authority, which is the Holy Spirit. He's your comfort. He'll tell you, he'll teach you, he'll guide you, he'll direct you, he'll do everything that you need to know. And then when you get into his righteousness, the average Christian never gets into the righteousness of Christ. They walk and do the best they can, but they don't even have an understanding or not even taught that. But the love of God is what's really going to make a difference. And even in the end time, when you get to heaven, when you go to heaven and that fire comes down, I've been hearing a lot here lately about one thing. Your sin that you do in the flesh, fleshly sins, are not going to be judged nearly to the fact that there's things that the Bible says we need to do, and if we don't do those, that's where you'll be judged. So if the Lord, if you're seeing through the scriptures, you need to do this, you need to do that, and you're not doing it, ask the Father to give you wisdom and how to become obedient to do it, because that's what this fire is going to be burning up and seeing what kind of things you have left over. there's a whole place. And the Lord also was saying in one of those areas, I don't get there, but it says, I will not return until my house is filled up. We heard the war going on today. After the war here, is from another pastor that studied it many years. We got 3 years or 3.5 years before Jesus comes back and the rapture happens. I can't tell you that's true or not. The Lord says, it ain't going to happen until my house is filled. He's got a lot of thrones yet to put in there. And he's got all of us and the other people out here, if they're listening and understanding our whole job, and don't take it on heavily. Just ask the Father what you're supposed to do and enjoy what he tells you to do, and don't get too overexcited or anything else, and just say, how am I supposed to help? What am I supposed to do? And let the love of God hit you in such a way you might be doing some things differently, and you might have wisdom and knowledge beyond your understanding on how to achieve what needs to be done. This is what this time about, knowing these things. And we just thank you, each one, and Father, I pray that, God, you bless each and every one. Keep us all safe. Father, if there be any attack that would come against this place or anybody in this place, we bind it, we break its power, we take those demons and send them, bound them up and send them back to hell. And Father, you set every person that sets any evil against us. We ask if there be any way their souls can be saved, that you save them in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for watching over all the military people that are out in these other countries. And you keep all of our people safe in the United States. Father, you're going to bless the United States because of what happened, because we're helping Israel, and we just give you full glory, honor, and praise. Bless each and every one and keep them all going in the name of Jesus till we meet again. Amen.
I've got an announcement.
Okay.
Thank God and thank for Keith. Keep on going. That he can continue on. We have a picnic on July 19th on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So this is a good opportunity for us to practice love and humility. And all the glory goes to God. A lot of details go into it, but about all I know is show up and with your mantle of love and humility. Thank God.